Hello, welcome to Talking Europe. We hear a lot about the security risks that Europe faces. Armed conflict, hybrid and cyber warfare, or natural catastrophes. But is the EU as a union actively preparing for different scenarios? And when it comes to hypotheticals, how do you even prepare? In early 2020, any suggestion that entire populations could soon be locked down in their homes would have been brushed off as science fiction or scaremongering. Well, my guest today is the author of a high-level report that was commissioned by the EU executive. Safer Together, written by Finland's former president, Sauli Niinistö, outlines how to strengthen Europe's civil and military preparedness and readiness. Sauli Niinistö was Finland's head of state from 2012 until 2020. And among many other things, he oversaw the country's accession to NATO in 2023. He's a special advisor to the head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, and he joins me from Helsinki today. President Niinistö, thank you so much for being my guest. I'd like to start with some of the latest news and this phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. As a result of this call, we now have a host of European political leaders saying that there should be no solution on Ukraine without Ukraine, and indeed no solution on Ukraine without the Europeans. What are your thoughts on this?
I fully agree with the European leaders. It is quite clear that Ukraine deserves a fair, justified peace. And from that point of view, I am very supportive to any kind of attempt of peace. That's always better than continuing the war. But peace in Ukraine has an impact on Europe as a whole and the European security as a whole. And that is why, one reason why Europeans should be involved in those discussions. The other is that we have been helping remarkably Ukraine during the war.
And President Niinistö, one of the key points of this Trump peace plan, if we can call it that, that is emerging now is that Ukraine will not be a member of NATO. As you come from a country which recently joined NATO, what do you think about that?
It is very clear that Ukraine needs security guarantees. And I guess that the discussion, the actual discussion is is now mostly about that. And if USA, European countries, guarantee the peace strongly, actually that doesn't differ very much from NATO membership. It depends also on what kind of guarantee is given. And I think, in my opinion, guarantees should be very strong.
Let's come on to your report, Safer Together. You say that security has not been at the heart of the EU's structures for decades. I'd like us to have a quick listen to Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk, whose country holds a rotating EU presidency, because he's also talking about changing this mentality or mindset. Here's Donald Tusk.
If Europe is to survive, it must be armed. This is not our choice. I am not a militarist. But to avoid a tragic repetition of history, we must all be strong, armed and determined.
President Niinistö, you put it very bluntly in your report. You say we do not have a clear plan on what the EU will do in the event of an armed aggression against a member state. What should that plan be, do you think?
Well, first of all, we should open up more what we mean by Lisbon Treaty 42.7 article. That's a very strong moral, ethical obligation to help another EU country if, in a case of armed attack, for example, to discuss about the context of that. It's beautifully written, but actually not very clear in of its context. My basic idea is that Europe is seen weak. That's what Putin has clearly said. Western people are weak, and thus the Western countries are weak. We have to show that we are strong, and strong not to wage for war, but to avoid a war. And that's the key issue.
You've also identified the problems in the attempts to integrate European defence, and one of the big bones of contention at the moment is whether American weapons should be included in the defence systems financed by the EU or not. Countries like France are very much insisting on a made-in-Europe focus. Others are more flexible. Where do you stand on this question?
There has been discussions on, first, on common procurement. And secondly, 50% limit of domestic, that is European, armament. And when we take notice to the fact that we do have to have use a lot of more money in armament, so that 50% is, I think, quite a good limit. But first of all, we have to be sure that we are able to produce armament which is, well, compared to any other, a good one.
And on the whole issue of preparedness, one thing that you talk about a lot is how citizens should be involved in that whole process. I guess this is perhaps more of a tradition in Finland than in some EU member states. It was very striking last year when Nordic countries were informing their citizens with pamphlets and so on how to deal with various crises scenarios. But here in France, where I am, there was nothing like that at all. So how would you create this sort of shared awareness?
I want to emphasize participation, any kind of civil participation, especially young people. In Finland, we have conscription, which is, I have understood, out of question in many European countries, but there are possibilities on a voluntary basis or legal obligation to take part to military or civil production activities, and bringing, in a way, security more nearby to people so that they see what is done and what has to be done.
Well, of course, conscription is more on the sort of military side of security, but in terms of civil preparedness, you know, it's amazing to me that living in Paris, I'm never invited to a simple training exercise. You know, what happens if a biological weapon is detonated in your city?
Yes, and we do have to keep in mind that that military threat is not at all the only one. We will face consequences of climate change. What about being without electricity? How you react on that? And reserving food, maybe even water, for a couple of days. That's one of the proposals.
And yeah, I was going to come on to this this idea of being prepared or having stocks for a period of time, yeah, to be self-sufficient, because one of your proposals actually is a 72-hour self-sufficiency target for households across the EU, which I guess could apply in all kinds of situations, like you say, a climate change related catastrophe or a weapon of mass destruction. It could be all kinds of things.
At least 72 hours is really not very long time. That it would be kind of legal obligation might be difficult, but nevertheless, I do believe that people understand. We have experiences in pandemic, in COVID time. Life was restricted, and we unfortunately face all the more consequences of climate change, drought, floods, whatever.
Just to come back for a second to the sort of big political picture. As I said at the beginning, you were president when Finland joined NATO. That was a historic break from decades of Finnish neutrality. Recently, the military intelligence chief in Finland warned that planned Russian military reforms could lead to a doubling or tripling of Russian troops based near Finland compared to the period before the war in Ukraine. Is Finland going to be overstretched now militarily, do you think?
Actually, I'm more worried about the future in just a couple of years' time. We will face a situation where AI, cyber, hybrid, space technology, quantum technology make us ask, what is a weapon and what is a war, actually? And preparing everything against this is most demanding. Yes, it might be possible that Russia is moving troops towards Finnish border. At least it's almost empty now, so they will increase it. But as long as they are so much present in Ukraine, that doesn't seem to be the case.
Okay, we'll have to wrap up there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Sauli Niinistö, the 12th president of Finland. And President Niinistö mentioned artificial intelligence just now, and that is in fact the topic of our debate in part two of Talking Europe with my panel of MEPs at the European Parliament in Brussels. Do stay with us.